is 6:30 a.m. in New York, 1:30 p.m. in Johannesburg, and 6:30 p.m. in Bangkok. Welcome to the Expat Happy Hour. This is Sunday Schneider Bean from sundaybean.com, and I'm a solution-oriented coach and intercultural strategist for individuals and organizations. And I am on a mission to help you adapt and succeed when living abroad and get you through any life transition. So I came across a quote about relationships, and it says, "All relationships have one law. Never make the one you love feel alone, especially when you're there." Ouch. Right? Like, how many times have you been in relationship with someone, whether it's your partner or family member or friend, and you felt alone? Something about the connection you were seeking just wasn't there. Or how many times have you been the one that made them feel alone because you just didn't get what they were saying? This is a reality that we deal with. And especially if you live in an intercultural relationship, this can be hard. I got a question from one of my clients. The question was, "Do you have any tips for intercultural relationships in times of extreme stress? You know, when it feels like you're speaking a different language, even though you're not." I mean, how many of you are living in a binational or bicultural relationship? And more than that, you're in a stressful time. Here's the thing. When we live across cultures, we have to be at our best to adapt and be open to communicate in a way that we feel like we are understood and we understand the other. But when we are in times of stress, we go back to our default. I know myself, I mean, I'm an intercultural strategist. I've been studying this for nearly 20 years. And there's times when I'm tired or overwhelmed when I just have a hard time seeking understanding, or where empathy feels hard, or when I want to choose to be right rather than be curious. I get it. It's hard. So in today's episode, I'm going to share my thoughts on what you can do, whether you're in an intercultural relationship and you're dealing with extreme stress. How can you move forward so you don't feel like you're speaking different languages? And if you're in a relationship that doesn't feel intercultural, this will still apply, because being in relationship and under stress is kind of like the challenges you feel when you're running a marathon, right? So I hope that these three things I'm going to share will help you move one step forward. So here you go. When you are in an extremely stressful circumstance, you need to take extreme measures. And specifically, we're going to look at those extreme situations where, I don't know, maybe you're moving, or maybe you've just taken on a new job, or your partner lost their job, or you've had a baby, or there was a loss in the family. Maybe you're uncertain about where you're going to live next. Maybe you've had a health scare in your family, or one of your loved ones, or maybe you're doing something fun like planning a wedding. Doesn't matter. Any one of those situations can feel stressful. And the reason why I bring up the intercultural side is because we can be open with others when we're going along just fine, but then we go to default when we're under stress. So in intercultural situations, it can be even harder. So whether or not you're dealing with what they call positive or negative stress, here are three ways you can be more extreme when you find yourself dealing with the extreme. And they are extreme self-care, extreme metacommunication, and extreme permission. I'm going to take you through each one to help you find out how you can best manage your extreme situation and navigate any relationship. So the first one is extreme self-care. Now, when we are under pressure, what happens? What's the first thing to go? If you're like most people, when you're stressed, the first thing to go are what? Sleep, healthy eating habits, moderate alcohol, exercise, right? When we are under stress and we actually need to be better prepared to handle what is coming our way, we actually do the opposite. We ditch the strategies that would actually help us handle this situation. Isn't that nuts? Most people do that. When you need to run a marathon, you don't sleep, you don't eat well, you drink too much. Hell no, right? But then why do we do that in our everyday lives? So I want you to go against your default. When you're in extreme situation, extreme stress, I want you to work hard on extreme self-care. That means I want you to have laser-like focus on your nutrition, on your exercise, on your sleep, on your alcohol consumption, so that you're strong to take on what you need, so that you can be patient, so that you can think clearly. So if you're finding yourself in a stressful situation, I want you to block off time, look at your everyday, and put yourself and the care of the basics as the highest priority. So instead of getting up early and doing more work, maybe you actually get up late and sleep in longer so that the work that you do that day is higher quality. Okay, so extreme stress requires extreme self-care. This one is important. Honestly, most people I know do the opposite of what they need to do when they're under stress. So if you're feeling like you and your partner are stressed over something that could be positive, like I said, you know, brand new baby, planning a wedding, or it could be something scary like potential job loss or moving to a place that you don't know anything about, time to make your self-care top priority. Okay, number two, what do you need to do? How do you need to be more extreme when you're dealing with extreme stress? It's what I call extreme meta communication. Okay, meta communication, for, you know, in nerdy communication specialists like myself, is basically you re-communicate communication. You communicate about your communication. But that's just another way of saying you're really transparent about your intentions. Or you ask others to be transparent about theirs. So when you're feeling stressed, again, we go to our defaults and they're the worst. Seriously, we're all a walking disaster when we're under stress, right? So what happens? You're stressed and you snap at your partner, you yell at your kids, you are really curt in an email to your employees, right? We don't go to the best place as default, right? So when you're in an extreme stressful situation, I encourage you to practice extreme meta communication. And it looks something like this. Like, hey, I just wanted to let you know when I shared that with you, I didn't mean to put you under more pressure. I was sharing it so that I know that we're prepared for tomorrow. Or, hey, when you said that last night, I got worried that you were actually angry at me instead of just pointing out what you thought the next steps were. Can you tell me what you were thinking when you said that? Right? In extreme stress, we do not have the time or extra energy for miscommunication. Right? And I have also learned this the hard way. I've been in situations where I'm under an extreme time crunch and I am sharing, let's say in the email, time deadlines and what has to happen, et cetera, et cetera. And when I haven't been communicating about my communicating, it can lead to lots of open questions on the other end. So for example, recently I was asking someone to do something for me and I said, this should take about an hour, right? And because we're under a tight deadline, it felt like if you're not doing it within an hour, you're doing something wrong. What I really meant was, we're really busy. We are moving fast. So aim to spend about an hour on this, right? Not meta-communicating, not communicating about my communication, left room for misinterpretation, right? So we can't be lazy when it comes to extreme situations. Think about how you can be more transparent in your communication, even when it's stressful, right? So you might say, hey, you know, how did our conversation go for you last night? You know, this is how I was kind of feeling about it. I want to check in with you. I really want to be open to you. I am very tired and feeling insecure, but I hope that that isn't passing on to you, for example, right? You can give people feedback on the impact that their communication has had on you, and you can also ask for feedback. So you might start by framing it. Hey, we're really under time pressure right now. I'm feeling very stressed about this unexpected news so that we can work really quickly together. I want you to tell me if you're feeling XYZ or if it's clear that ABC, right? So communicate about your communication, because what it really is, honestly, this is about being connected. And when we're stressed, it's easy to disconnect. So communicating about your communication, checking in, hey, it's been really stressful these last few days. How's it going? You know, how are we doing? Are we vibing, right? Can save you a lot of energy and time. And this leads me to the third thing that you can do when you are under extreme stress, especially with your partner, is what I call extreme permission. And I'll tell you, this strategy is something that I learned just over 10 years ago. So this is how it happened. I just had my firstborn son. Had a cesarean, wasn't planned, kind of crazy. Was in the hospital for 5 days, come home, and I went from, you know, a happy couple to, oh my gosh, we are a family now with a brand new baby and I have no idea what I'm doing. My mom comes to help out. I'm feeling very insecure about this whole parent thing, you know, responsible for someone's life. And of course, I'm exhausted. I'm not sleeping well. I'm constantly feeding baby in the middle of the night, changing diapers, you know, adapting to everything. This independent professional woman is suddenly mama. And this was a huge identity shift for me. At my wits end in terms of exhaustion, just because of the physical impact of pregnancy, labor, and breastfeeding, sleepless nights. So we go along. Things are great. They're joyous. This is a positive stress, but nonetheless, a physical impact on me. And Friday night comes along. And my husband walks in the house and he's like, hey, Sunday, it's there's this big party happening across the street at our, you know, regular place where we go dancing and go out. Cause this was, of course, over a decade ago when we were younger and before kids, we'd actually go out. And he's like, so I was thinking about going tonight. What are you gonna do tonight? And I looked at him, I'm like, what are my plans tonight? And I completely lost it. I mean, this poor man. I don't know now what I said, but what I do know is how I felt. And I was raging inside. Like, are you kidding me? I've had a cesarean. I can barely walk. I'm exhausted. What am I doing tonight? I'm feeding our child. What do you think I'm doing tonight? I can't even walk. Even if I wanted to go, it would be painful for me to get there. I can't have any beer once I get there because I'm breastfeeding my child and I need sleep. So I can't even stay up past 8 p.m. So, okay, all that raged on him, the poor man. And I think he left the room. And I might have had a little bit of the baby blues happening on him. And my mom was there. And I think she was saying like, oh boy, what just happened here? Because we're very harmony oriented and things are usually really, really good. So I get that out. I take a deep breath and I'm like, hey, can you come back in here? So this brave man comes back in here. And I say to him, I say, listen, here's the thing. We've never been parents before. I've never been a mom of a baby. We've never had to negotiate how we spend our weekends. I'm like, can we just do this? Can we just give each other permission to screw up the firsts? Just give each other permission to screw up every first that we have as a brand new family. And that's what I did. I was like, you know what? We've never had to negotiate that before. You know, did he screw it up? Did I screw it up? Doesn't even really matter. What matters is that we were able to step back and say, okay, this is the first time and we're going to let that go and we're going to find a better way. So my suggestion to you is if you're in an extreme situation, it's time to exercise extreme permission. You guys have never been through this level of stress before. You've never felt a loss like that before. You've never had a major move like that before. You've never experienced the uncertainty like that before. Whatever it is, that from the bottom of your heart, from that place of love that brought you in relationship with this person, work on giving extreme permission. And have a conversation about that so your friend or your partner can do the same. Those are three ways that you can be more extreme when you find yourself in an extreme situation. Remember, number one is extreme self-care. Number two is extreme metacommunication. And number three is extreme permission. For extreme self-care, check out my other podcast where we talk about self-care. About Deanna Durrell talks about how to take care of yourself. There's other podcasts I've done around taking care of yourself through pleasure. Do what you've got to do. The top strategies to take care of you and plan them in your stressful day because they are going to be the thing that helps you float. Okay, extreme metacommunication. Go back to any of my podcasts where I've talked about nonviolent communication, about how you can have a big talk with your partner without creating more stress. That is a time to be at your top of your communication practices with those you care about. And the third is to give extreme permission because you know the drill. Extreme situations call for extreme measures. All right, so this is what I wish for you, whether you're negotiating an intercultural relationship or a professional partnership or just trying to make it through your own stressful situation, you are not alone. You've got these three measures at your fingertips for you to deal with an extremely stressful situation. You've been listening to the Expat Happy Hour with Sunday Bean. Thank you for being here. I'll leave you with the words from Hans Seil, a pioneering endocrinologist who is among the first to demonstrate the existence of biological stress. He says, "It's not the stress that kills us, it's our reaction to it."